The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus said, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him because he abides with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me, and those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and reveal myself to them." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Well, you know that I probably was going to say this at the beginning, but I will do it now because it was part of my sermon. Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers and grandmothers out there today. Mother's Day has been a national holiday in the United States since 1914. Did you know that? That's 112 years. I don't think anybody was born before 1914 here. Can I make that statement? Okay. That's quite a long time. Mother's Day was started by Anna Jarvis in 1908 to honor mothers' sacrifices. Inspired by her own mother, Ann Reeves Jarvis, activism during the Civil War. Now, Anna's envisioned a day for personal reflection, family, and gratitude, often marked by wearing white carnations. Mother's Day was set on the second Sunday of May, the day that Anna's mother died. Now, sorry, we don't have white carnations for all you lovely ladies, but we do have a gift for all the women here today for Mother's Day, so make sure that you get one of these before when you leave the church. Mother's Day is supposed to conjure up all kinds of love and gratitude towards our mothers, and for we all have mothers, right? None of you have been hatched, right? Okay. Well, maybe my husband, but yeah. Is he here still? Did he leave? Okay, good. He won't know this, that I said that. Yeah. Okay. But sometimes the love on Mother's Day that it's supposed to represent gets lost in our human emotions, doesn't it? Yes, Mother's Day can bring up feelings of love in some, but for others, it can remind us of something that we have lost, or maybe we never had. But Jesus this morning reminds all of us of the love that never fails. So maybe we should talk about the love in the gospel today. It might be a little safer than maybe the love of mother today. Jesus is teaching his disciples in the last few days that he will be here on earth before he is going to the cross. In our passage today, John, our gospel writer John, Jesus begins by saying this to his disciples, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments. So what commandments did Jesus give us? Well, if you remember from your scripture, Jesus summarized all of God's commandments into two: to love God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and to love your neighbor as yourself. Now, this was not something earth-shattering that Jesus came up with. Remember, Jesus was a Jew. And every morning, the Jews would, and to this day, repeat the Shema that comes out of Deuteronomy, the Hebrew scripture, the Old Testament. And it was this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. And love your neighbor as yourself. Every Jew would repeat that every single day. So when Jesus tells us these two greatest commandments when asked, it wasn't earth-shattering. The Jews already knew this. But he is giving us what we needed to focus on. Love is definitely important to Jesus. But we are at a disadvantage in our English language because we only have one word for love. Now, in Greek, I'm getting to our word of the day. Just hang with me, okay? In Greek, which our New Testament is written in, there are several words for love which have slightly different focus or meaning. Some of the words that you will find in the New Testament in Greek, you'll see here philia used, which means a friendship kind of love. Somebody that is a friend, that's the kind of love we have for them. There's storge, which is the family affection for parents, siblings, and other relatives. Then there's eros, the romantic kind of love for someone that we are attracted to. And we're going to skip over any details about that because we want to keep it PG, okay? There's kids here involved. And finally, we get to the word of the day, agape. Often defined as an unconditional, sacrificial kind of love for well-being of others, regardless of the circumstances. We primarily use this in Christian theology to describe God's love for all of humanity. This is the Greek word of love that Jesus uses in this passage from John when he talks about the love of God. And it's also the word love, agape, that he gives in the commandments to love God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and to love your neighbor as yourself. Agape kind of love, a sacrificial kind of love. Probably the best definition of agape love comes from kind of an unusual place, because Paul doesn't seem warm and fuzzy sometimes, but the Apostle Paul in his first letter to the Corinthians says this in chapter 13, beginning at verse 4, and I'm sure you have heard this read before, especially if you've gone to any weddings. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not exist in its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. That's agape love. And it's a pretty high bar, isn't it? Love is a word we use a lot in our culture, isn't it? We kind of throw the word love around, love of ice cream, love of whatever. I love ice cream, I'll admit it. We sing about love. I'm going to date myself because one of the songs that popped in my head is a Beatles song written in 1967. Entitled, All You Need Is Love. Yeah, da, 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 da. Wouldn't that be nice if we just needed love? It would solve all of our problems, right? I'm not so sure. You know, agape love is not a passive kind of love. And sometimes it's downright hard to love with agape love, especially when someone has hurt us or even disagrees with us. How can we give that person agape love, that sacrificial, unconditional love? As I was contemplating this week, I received an email from one of my clergy mentors, the very Reverend Canon Kevin Martin, who is retired. He was a retired dean of the Episcopal Cathedral in Dallas. That's kind of where I met him at. And he lives in Georgetown, Texas now with his wife, Sharon. And he does lots of writing because he's retired. He can do that. And he likes to share with his clergy colleagues and friends. And I'm very blessed that he considers me one of those. This week, I got an email from Dean Kevin about leadership in the church. And at the end of this three-page email, he likes to be very verbose, but it's all very good. But at part of it, he talked about what it means to be a leader, and in the church especially, and what he's learned over his many, many years of an active priest and a leader within the church. Dean Kevin wrote this, and it made me pause. He said, "You cannot lead from the middle of a crowd, a congregation, clergy gathering, or a diocese, or by restating conventional wisdom, all we need is to learn to love one another. It's not a truth. It's a cliche that describes the human predicament. If we could simply learn it, we do not need a savior." Think about that. If we could just simply learn to love, we don't need a savior. Agape love, a sacrificial love, is the highest level of love we can have. And yet as humans, we fall short of loving like that all the time. As humans, we struggle with all the types of love, like philia love, when friendships deteriorate. We've all had that happen. In storge love, when families are torn apart by something. In eros love, I don't have to tell you about when relationships and marriages often fail or burn out. We have all experienced that or know somebody that has happened to. When Peter denied Jesus three times, as Jesus was arrested, it was only a day after he had promised to follow Jesus to his death if necessary. That agape love that Peter had for Jesus went right out the door. Maybe Dean Kevin is right. It's not just about love, about learning to love better. We need a savior to navigate this world. We need an advocate that will help us walk in this life so that we can share this agape love with others and with God. We all need help in our life, especially as we try to live into this agape love that Jesus commands us to have. Jesus knew it was going to be hard for us on our own. So he gives us the Holy Spirit, our advocate, the Spirit of truth, to be with us always. Our friends and family may leave us, even abandon us or betray us. But Jesus promises us today, "I will never leave you orphaned." In Matthew's gospel, Jesus says it this way, "I am with you always." This is a profound promise from Jesus, assuring his followers that of his continued presence through the Holy Spirit until the end of the age and beyond to eternal life. It signifies that believers are never alone, providing comfort and strength and encouragement at times of fear or hardship. So yes, we need to love God and others. We are commanded to love God and others, but we also need the help of our Savior through the Holy Spirit that lives within us. We may not see or hear the presence of God at all times, but the power and the presence of God is always available to us. No matter how frightened or alone we feel, no matter how much we feel abandoned or how weak or powerless we may believe that we are, that doesn't mean that the Holy Spirit isn't there with us. It doesn't mean that we are not loved. God protects and provides for us. We are God's treasured possession. We are God's children, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. Jesus promised he will never leave us as orphans. He promised to be with us always through the presence of the Holy Spirit here in this life and beyond. But again, there's an action or obedience clause that remains in effect for this love of God. And it says, they who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me. Love is an action, especially agape love. But all love is action, is seen through what we do, how we treat one another. We can know Jesus' commandments, and we can even say them out loud. But until we live into these commandments through our actions, we do not show God's love to the world. And God's love needs to be shown in this world. If anything good came out of our dealings with COVID over the years, I think it helped us realize that we are not only need each other, but God's love in our lives, so we never feel alone, even when we have to feel that we are isolated. The Holy Spirit is to be with us and guide us through our life. St. Augustine of Hippo is quoted in saying this, "Thou hast made us for thyself, O Lord, and our heart is restless until it finds its rest in thee." How true is that? We get anxious all the time until we find that connection to God that fills us up from the inside. Even if we find ourselves isolated from other human beings, we are not alone when we have God in our lives. Sometimes we need to remind ourselves of this promise of Jesus. God, the Holy Spirit, is there to walk with us through whatever we are facing in our life, walking as a companion, a loving and caring companion, knowing that this can make all the difference in our lives, especially in times of stress, in times of loneliness, in times of need. God walks with us. Jesus said, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." Agape love is very important to have and to show. But we need a Savior to show us the way and his gift of the Holy Spirit to help us stay on the right path. Because we make mistakes, don't we? All the time. Peter and Paul, some of the greatest evangelists of our early faith, made mistakes. We are in good company. We need to tap into the Holy Spirit inside of each one of us. The Spirit of truth, the Spirit that will help guide us on this path to agape love, so that we can be with Jesus in eternity, but also so that we can show God's love to this world. If you want to hear more about why we need the Holy Spirit, well, you're going to have to come back next week. I'm going to be talking to you about challenges of following Christ as our Lord and Savior, and how the Holy Spirit helps in these challenges. So come back next week and hear more. Amen.